Films can be a window into history, and few periods in American history have been portrayed on screen more than the stories of World War II. Nearly 200 films were made about World War II between 1942 and 1945. So, how accurate are Hollywood's portrayals of World War II, and what do they tell us about the time in which they were made? Dave Lerson's new book, World War II on Film, aims to find out just that. The book gives the facts behind the films, and to share more, he joins me now. Dave Lerson, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Thank you. Good to be back here in 2021.
So do you think the circumstances of Pearl Harbor that launched America into World War II lent itself to audiences also enthusiastically embracing most World War II films and kind of contribute to the rate of production that Hollywood kept going and making these kind of films?
It certainly did. Starting in 1942 through the end of the war, 1945, Hollywood cranked out about 200 World War II-oriented movies at that time. And it was considered by the federal government to be, you know, a key part of the defense industry. Hollywood received special privileges for materials and personnel. There was no doubt that the U.S. government viewed Hollywood as a key factor in winning the war.
So your recent book, World War II on Film, it kind of breaks down about a dozen of them, gives historical background, their importance, what they show about the period. And with hundreds to pick from, how on earth did you narrow it down to 12? And what characteristics do you think they share or qualities that set them apart?
Well, it was a negotiation with the editor of the series at the publishing house that published this book. So I did not get everything I wanted in there, but I was able to achieve, you know, combat on land, sea, and air, combat in the Pacific, North Africa, Western Europe, and Eastern Europe through the worst movie that I included in the book, Enemy at the Gates, A-list cast, terrible film. But I wanted to get the Eastern Front in there. I was also concerned with looking at the home front in America, which I did through Saboteur, and also looking at the post-war verdict of history through the film Judgment at Nuremberg.
Along with all of these movies in the book, you also give a good essay summarizing each film, but also provide historical background. So why do you feel it's important to include the actual events that potentially inspired these films or that these films were taking place in?
Well, it's very easy for movies to overtake reality. I would say that even, you know, people who lived through that time, many of their memories of the war were based on Hollywood movies more so than anything that they experienced. Ronald Reagan famously kept quoting an incident from the war to inspire his audiences, and actually this was a scene from a World War II movie. I don't think he was doing it intentionally. I think that, as with millions of other people, the movies permeated our memory and defined how we think about the war. So it's a necessary thing, you know, to check the fantasy of film against the facts as we can ascertain them.
You know, few American filmmakers have chosen to record the war's negative undertones, especially during the time of the war, the peak, and the direct aftermath. So can you talk about the sense of American idealism, not just found in war films, but what it stemmed from?
American idealism, well, is always under duress in some way, but the war brought most Americans together. There were only a handful of right-wing extremists who actually opposed America's entry into the war once Pearl Harbor was bombed. And the war allowed Americans to focus on the ideals that this country has always said it stood for. Of course, we know that some of these ideals fell short during that time. We fought with a segregated military in which black Americans were often given short shrift and given the worst assignments. There were many, many flaws in the American system, but Franklin Roosevelt, as an inspiring leader, you know, spoke of America as an unfinished country, and it still is an unfinished country. But during the war, we were able to look at those great ideals, democracy, freedom of choice, that the enemies of the United States seemed to oppose utterly. It would have been a very different world if America had lost the war.
Right. So let's take a look at some of the films that you dive into. And we'll start in 1942 with Saboteur by Alfred Hitchcock.
Little known Hitchcock film, but it's just filled with the anxiety of the early months of America's involvement in World War II. People were afraid that Nazi saboteurs were at work in America, and not Germans who parachuted in, but Americans who sympathized with the enemy. The movie also touches on something that was very real, a kind of small number of upper-class, well-connected people who really, you know, supported the aims of Nazi Germany or fascist Italy and would have liked to have seen America going down that pathway. You know, so what I tried to do in analyzing this film versus the reality of it is to discover and look at some historical figures that actually correspond in some way with the villain characters in Saboteur. So that movie really kind of spoke to American ideals under threat. The famous last scene of the saboteur hanging from the Statue of Liberty and eventually falling as the suit coat breaks, and the seam breaks, and he falls to his death below. That's probably what the movie is best remembered for.
And even though it wasn't a big success, it certainly influenced North by Northwest later on.
Yes. Clambering over national monuments became a Hitchcock trope.
So for our next film, I'm sure a lot of our audience is familiar with it. It's certainly well-known and well-loved even today. It's Casablanca, which was made in 1942. And what I found really interesting about this is that Warner Studios was the first major studio whose films openly criticized Nazi Germany before the U.S. even entered the war.
Risky business at that time, literally, because Germany and countries aligned with Germany were a major market for Hollywood films. And there would be consequences if your studio released movies critiquing these systems. So yes, Warner Brothers was well situated to do a movie like this, which is not a combat movie either. I think combat movies tend to be kind of boring, really, you know, mass casualties, things explode. It's much more interesting to look at the human response to war, the moral implications. What do we as individuals have to offer the world in a common struggle against a very threatening enemy, even if it means sacrificing something that's very important to us? That's, I think, why Casablanca has endured as a great film. I mean, it still speaks to any kind of situation like that we might find ourselves in.
It won Best Picture and Best Adapted Screenplay at the Oscars, but there's also a big significance of the importance of the character Rick for Americans.
Well, Rick was an isolationist. Rick was, I'm my own man. Don't bother me with your problems kind of a guy. That's part of the American character, by the way. But this movie showed that there are certainly times when we need to transcend that and look beyond our personal considerations and see ourselves as being part of a larger world that has problems that we can help solve.
And speaking of that viewpoint of the individuals part of a larger cause, we're going to jump forward quite a bit to Dunkirk, made in 2017. And I remember going to the screening of this with you at an IMAX long, long ago, pre-COVID.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was truly like a visual, crazy experience. But, you know, this story is about regular people coming together and kind of hops across all of these characters in a big point in, you know, British war history especially. So what about Dunkirk makes it stand out to you?
Well, I think we need to look at Dunkirk alongside Darkest Hour, the Gary Oldman portrayal of Winston Churchill, which came out around the same time. The Gary Oldman movie was the great man theory of history in which you know, a towering individual can change the course of what happens. Dunkirk was the opposite, that the masses of people can actually help determine the outcome of history. But both things, I believe, are true, by the way, and they work in tandem with each other. Dunkirk, you know, took the path less taken. It's easier to actually do a movie where Napoleon or Roosevelt or Churchill or somebody, you know, gets up, makes a speech, rallies people. To try to depict thousands of people standing together on a beach doing something that's critically important, and hundreds of people crawling into small boats, sailing across choppy waters to rescue them. This is a remarkable accomplishment to dramatize how, you know, many thousands of people working for a common cause can make something important happen.
Something that I think most World War II films have in common and was a strategy for filmmakers throughout this whole time, and I'm sure there's going to be more World War II films to make, was that the stories are about the everyday characters whose actions would be heroic. I mean, you do have your some films who highlight a certain hero of history, but so many people are involved in the war that there's so much to choose from, and it's about singling out what normal people are called to do.
Well, the best films are almost always ones dealing with small groups of people put together in a difficult situation who have to figure out how to survive and what choices to make. Whether it's 12 o'clock high, a bomber crew under constant threat of death, or the German film Das Boot, a submarine crew facing a similar situation. This enables us to look, you know, at a variety of human types, the psychology of what it means to be a person outside of the normal way of life. You are really being faced with life and death decisions here. Are you going to rise to the occasion? Are you going to fall short out of moral cowardice, or simply the psychological pressure that can cause even strong people to crack?
So you mentioned, of course, there's hundreds of films to pick from. Whether it's included in this list or you didn't get to include it, which film set in World War II do you think is the film to watch for anyone who's unfamiliar with the genre?
I think that Letters from Iwo Jima might be a great film. Clint Eastwood directed this film from the Japanese point of view, based upon letters, literally, that Japanese troops on that island sent home. They knew they were doomed. And what could they do about it? It is a really deep examination of human life in the worst situations of combat, a situation where you really didn't think you were going to win, but here you are, you believed in the cause, and you were going to stand up and continue to fight.
Well, Dave Lurson, we could easily fill a whole show talking about a lot of these great movies, but I want to thank you for your time today to take us through some of, you know, classics for sure.
Thank you, Audrey.
Dave Lurson is the author of World War II on Film, and also one of our regular contributors.